This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It is the Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Steve, who's in Prague. You just heard him last hour checking in, telling about all the good souvenirs he's buying for us and the goulash he's eating. Coming up a little bit later in the show, Marlon Wayans will be in studio, and we say hi to everybody at CLTV who has joined us in the television broadcast. But Marlon Wayans coming up a little bit later, but first...
Yeah, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tiffany Louise. She's a licensed social worker, and she's also a professional coach, and she specializes in cognitive and behavioral change, and she coaches individuals and groups, and she speaks for corporations all over the country. And I just wanted Tiffany to elaborate a little bit on her qualifications, because I know there's a lot of people out there offering, you know, help and self-help and coaching, but she is legitimate. I mean, you've been working in this field for many years.
I have, and I feel so blessed to have done so. So I started out, I've been a therapist in some way, shape, or form for like 17 years. It's crazy. I started off working with children on the autism spectrum, learned a lot about behaviorism and like what motivates, what continues behaviors and what causes extinction. And then from there, I had a 10-year career in addiction, mental health, working with everything from eating disorders to anxiety disorders and depression. And so what I love about the work that I get to do now is that it's really based in some really strong clinical, you know, knowledge and education, but now I can bring it to the masses where it's not just behind closed doors, right, in a confidential setting, and I can work with people in a variety of ways. So I don't do clinical work anymore in my practice, but a lot of what I do is influenced
by. Do you miss that? Do you miss the idea of that private setting as opposed to sort of doing motivation and therapy for the masses?
Well, I do have a private coaching practice, so I have a lot of people who I work with one-on-one, so I get that, like, itch scratched, if you know what I mean. I do miss, I miss that work. Addiction is a beautiful business, life-changing business. I got to see such transformation that it's unreal to really think about what people can do in their lives. So I miss that, but I love what I'm doing now. I love the flexibility. I love the clients that I work with. So,
speaking of transformations, over the years, I've been lucky enough to watch your own transformation, mm-hmm, in your life. First of all, congratulations. You just wrote your very first book. It's a nifty 52-week guided journal to achieve your goals, and it's entitled This Year I Will, and it's dot, 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 a little ellipses there. Because it's a very handy, it's a book that you can carry around. It's not something huge. You can put it in your purse, you can put it in your backpack, whatever you want, and you can really work through it, and this will actually really help you. But before we get to what led you to the book, I want to talk about your transformation, because from people looking at you from the outside, which, yes, is that's what's going on right now in our, especially in our social media world, mm-hmm, everyone would think that your life is perfect because, yes, you had a successful career. You're stunningly, I mean, you're drop dead gorgeous. You're intelligent. It felt like you had it all, but in truth, you really didn't feel that way.
No, and I love that we're talking about this because perception is so powerful, but truly, I really have never met a person who doesn't have their own personal journey and struggle to overcome. Mm-hmm. I think it's sort of our human curriculum, and we learn through those life experiences, and, you know, girl, I teach what I most needed to learn, so I'm not going to be the person who says, you, I say we. Because we, as a collective, have these experiences of struggle and hopefully triumph. And I really believe that whatever is placed before us can ultimately be the thing that is for our highest good. And I found that in my life, you know, growing up with a single mother and struggling with anxiety and working through relationship issues. I mean, you name it. We could talk all day about the things that I've overcome. But one thing, you know, I'm a student of what I teach. I've been in therapy since I was teeny, right? Now at this point, 37, I've been in therapy off and on for like 33 years. And I think it is one of the best investments. Coaching, therapy, you know, personal development work is one of the best developments or best investments we can make in our own development.
You've seen over time, and I think in 2019 more than ever, a destigmatization of therapy.
Yes.
In the way that it used to be, even hearing you say, I've been in therapy, it almost has become something that you can see in the masses and in mainstream, that people are doing it for just their own overall mental health, not necessarily just for drugs and alcohol or addiction or issues or whatever. There seems to be more of an emphasis on this as sort of your weekly or in some cases daily routine.
Isn't that amazing? And that's why I speak about it so much, to try to reduce that stigma. Like, I talk about going to therapy or doing a course or coaching the same way I would getting my hair done or like right. going to a workout class. And the more that we normalize it, the less fear hopefully there will be for people accessing it. And I love how far we come. We can always, nudge that needle little more. But I do think that from 20 years ago, it's remarkably different how present this is.
There was so much made yesterday because ESPN had was talking all about the football game that was last night. The Seattle Seahawks played the LA Rams. And it came out this week that Russell Wilson had talked about he has a mental coach. He has somebody that he meets, which mm-hmm. is a therapist, and he talks about it helps him focus on what he has to do to get his job done. And it was interesting to watch all the pundits talk about it, because they may not necessarily embrace the idea of therapy, but to see it applied to athletes and to sport and to mainstream sort of entertainment, it opened eyes.
Yes, and most teams have coaches, not just on the field, but emotionally, behaviorally, and truly. Let's think about this, right? We have our own ability to see what we can see, and we bring someone in, a trusted confidant, someone who understands what our vision is and what our goals are. They're able to see things we can't. I always say my job is to be a mirror. I'm reflecting back what you're telling me what you want. I'm reflecting back what seems to be your barriers. I help people create a new narrative. They're doing the work, but I know the questions to ask.
Right.
And so, it doesn't surprise me. And anyone who wants to achieve excellence really is going to get those people in every area of their life.
And maybe you can't afford a one-on-one coach, but right. this is why when we come back, we're going to talk about
Absolutely.
Tiffany's book.
Let's talk about the book, This Year I Will, a 52-week guided journal to achieve your goals. Tiffany Louise is our guest in studio here on the Steve Cochran Show. We'll come back in just a sec.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Steve Cochran Show continues. Justin Kaufman here for Steve. Tiffany Louise, our guest. She's the life coach, and she's the author of This Year I Will, a 52-week guided journal, to achieve your goals. First question out the gate, you see this, talk of core values, yep. and that's a big part of what you're doing with the book and what you want people to recognize. Those are usually, when you hear core values, that those are things that businesses take on. When you have business plans and talking with, just how you're going to grow as an entrepreneur, how do you make the transition to give it to someone to be a personal goal as opposed to a business goal?
It's a good question. So it's hard to hit a target that we haven't identified, and we can hit a target, but if we're doing it for the wrong reasons, we ultimately won't be fulfilled. So one of the things when we think about goals is why? What do you think you're going to achieve? Most of us want something because we believe when we get it, we will feel a certain way.
Right.
I get the job, I'm going to feel valuable. So when we deconstruct that and come back to the values first, we make sure we're actually trying to hit something that will fulfill us in the way we think it will, and we can have more clarity.
Right.
So what I really, taking that from the business model to the personal model, it's like we want to make sure that we're using our lives meaningfully. And if we're chasing things that end up leaving us feel, I always say it's like a leaky bucket, right? We get it and then it comes out just as fast as it came in. So values are so critical for us. What matters to you? Is it family? Is it people? And this is how we kind of butt up against our values. Say someone wants to run a marathon, but their biggest value is family. See the conflict there, right? They have to spend all this time running on the weekends outside of work, and it takes away from time with their kids. So they will be struggling to do that, but then they're beating themselves up not running. And that's how we get stuck.
This makes sense to me as to why so many people sometimes finally feel like they have the job or they have the partner they wanted in life, or they've made
happy,
the money,
right,
and they're still not happy.
Yes.
I know a lot of times people hear self-help and they immediately, their eyes start to glaze over. They're very doubtful and skeptical. Exactly, right? Please don't. But the point is, what do you see? What is the biggest mistake people are making in terms of actually living the life that they want and achieving their goals?
I think, one, they're lacking clarity. Two, once they get clear, they don't enlist the support. This is what we want to do. We want to make it easier rather than harder. So say you want to shift a goal around your health. It's easier if you have a house full of healthy food and you have a workout schedule that you enjoy rather than you're forcing yourself to do. So I'm not a morning person, but trying to get yourself to the gym in the morning is so going to lead to us not being successful, or we do it for a little bit and then we stop and then we get into this shame cycle and then we get stuck. So what I find is that people aren't as clear in why they're doing it. And when they're connected to their why, it taps into a different level of motivation. And then from the why, you have to give yourself manageable steps to achieve. Like saying, hey, I'm going to be healthy this week.
Right.
What does that mean? How do you even hit that goal, right? And then the end of the week comes and they're like, I didn't do it. And then it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And then you order a giant deep dish pizza because you've already screwed up so badly.
Well, you mentioned the shame cycle. And I guess, you know, when you think about your life as both a therapist and a private coach, and you think about, even when it comes to addiction, you think about relapse.
Yep.
As Jesus kind of said about a big pizza, right? If you want to be healthy and you eat a big pizza, there has to be, I would assume, when you're chasing goals or you're trying to motivate yourself to stay on goal, are the guidelines or the protocol for relapse for letting yourself down? Because it seems like that gets in the way. If I don't go to the gym and I said I should go to the gym, I start getting mad at myself and the whole thing unravels.
Yes, that's a powerful question. And it really comes down to how we talk to ourselves. The only thing that we have control over is the stories that we tell ourselves, the way we choose to see the world. And part of what I do is help people create a kinder, gentler, more compassionate space within their own minds. So we can confront the pizza and we can tell ourselves a story that hurts, diminishes.
Like,
shames.
I'm fat. I'm an idiot. Right, what did you do? I hate myself.
Or we can say, the pizza was delicious. I enjoyed it. And maybe one piece or two pieces felt good. But after that, then I felt like I was numbing. So I'm going to get curious. This is what I always say. We get curious about people we care about, right? You love someone, you can tell they're off. What do you do?
I ask them.
How often do we do that with ourselves? This self-reflection is an act of love. And that simple act of stepping back and saying, sweetheart, what's going on with you? What was that about? Okay, let's unpack this. What happened with the pizza? Long day. And okay, now you eat the whole thing and you don't feel good. Okay, let's have compassion. That was your best effort to cope with what was happening at that time. Mm-hmm. What's the next step? We always are moving in the direction of the light. Shame is not a motivating energy.
You mentioned coping, which is also, when you think about the coping mechanisms in our life, there has to be some sort of active or proactive approach to replacing those coping mechanisms with good coping mechanisms.
Absolutely.
Right? That's really what this is about, that instead of going for that pizza, I go for something else. But it still has the same effect.
Yes. Well, you have the same effect that you're coping with the moment, but some coping mechanisms leave you with an end result you don't want, right? You coped with the moment, but then you have a negative after effect.
Right.
Versus a coping mechanism that adds value to your life, you leave that coping mechanism and you have not created more discomfort for yourself, right? So we are learning to replace. And the truth about behavior change is we think it takes, 30 days. It's actually, the research shows it's actually more about 66 days to create a new pattern.
Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. It's even longer than we thought. Is there hope for me?
There is. But in those beginning stages of change, you have to really make sure that you're reinforced, right? Until the new behavior becomes more of a groove. And then what ends up happening is we're reinforced by the good behavior instead, and that becomes the carrot dangling in front of us, right? So there's science and there's emotion, and it's...
So it's not an easy thing. So if someone's listening and they're beating themselves up, I mean, it's not easy to change your habits and to change your life.
And the compassion is the best place to start from. When we have compassion for the struggle, we are much more likely to choose a better action from that than we are when we are shaming ourselves.
How do we hold ourselves accountable? I'm thinking right now that I should just start on this journal because it's 52 weeks, 1 week per week.
That's why
by
I
week.
Like the journal. It's once a week. It's not like an everyday thing. And
right.
I think journaling every day is great. I have a daily journal too. But what the feedback that I'm getting from people, because this book has been out, not quite a year, is that this is my sacred time. Every week I create a ritual around it. I go to the coffee shop. I do it before the kids wake up in the morning. And it allows me to reflect, what's occurred, what's coming in the week before. It's accountability. We need accountability if we want to change.
The book is called This Year I Will, a 52-week guided journal to achieve your goals. Tiffany Lewis is the author. She's a life coach. Tiffany, great to meet you. Thanks for coming in and sharing your story with us here on the Steve Cochran Show. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.